We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It's Thursday, March 14th. Got a fun show ready for y'all today. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to talking about it. I'm curious to see if you guys are looking forward to talking about it. Going to dive into three different topics today. And the first two are going to be a little bit, you know, those topics that you kind of look at and say, hey, these are kind of not really complementary of each other. Actually, they're kind of opposites of each other. But the reality is both areas are going to have a big impact on what happens with Notre Dame this year. And that's something that I'm very much looking forward to seeing. And the first topic is going to be a youth movement that Notre Dame is getting ready to go through and is going to deal with this season. And you're in a situation with the Irish where, you know, you've seen some really veteran teams win championships in recent years. Obviously, Michigan this past year was an extremely veteran team. And Notre Dame's going to have plenty of veteran experience and plenty of veteran stars, which I'll talk about during that intro to that show. But if Notre Dame's really going to take off as a program, they're going to need their young players to step up. They're going to need the sophomore class, the freshman class to really step up. And if you want to get technical with the way other teams evaluate players, it's even more young players when you start looking at redshirt sophomores. And so we're going to dive into that and how important those players are to Notre Dame and just what some of my expectations are for those players this spring. And the fact that, you know, this is a spring focused show because we need to see that improvement this spring. We need to see those players kind of start taking that jump this spring. And I'm going to dive into that. And it's starting lineup, it's depth. I mean, there's going to be a lot of young players in position to battle this spring, which in some areas is not good, in some areas is good. And I'll talk about that as well. Part two of today's show is going to look at the veterans. It's sort of a, you know, I used to call it last chance you when that was a thing. I don't know if that's a thing anymore. It's been a while since I've seen that. But, you know, that last chance for some veteran players to really say, hey, now's my time to shine. Because if I don't play well now, if I don't step up now, I'm not going to get another shot because there's just so many younger players. Behind me that are battling for jobs. And so we'll break those players down. There's a small handful of those guys that I think are entering that type of situation. And then the final topic I'm going to look at today is going to be diving into the latest with the college football playoff, what we're hearing, and how masterfully the Big Ten and the SEC played this whole thing. And I'm going to dive into that as well. I'm not happy about it, and I think it's ridiculous, but you also have to sometimes give credit where credit is due. They had an end game in mind. They asked for something, knowing what they really wanted, and they got what they wanted. So we'll dive into that as well at the end. Topic number one, however, is the youth movement that is happening at Notre Dame. And I'm going to break it down kind of into two sections. I'm going to first start talking about the offense and then the defense, but they're all going to kind of go together as one show. That's really where the emphasis is going to be.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And when you look at Notre Dame this season and you look at where this football team is, obviously, there's veteran players all over the place. I mean, the guys that Notre Dame is going to be building around this year, they're going to have a senior quarterback. They're going to have a senior tight end, not in the spring, but when we get to the fall. You've got veterans at different – Jaden Thomas, Deion Coles, who I'm going to talk about later, in different at different times. You have Chris Mitchell transferred in as a six-year senior. Jaden Harrison came in as a senior. Bo Collins will be here in the fall as a senior who's played a lot of football. You look up front, you know, you got two juniors that are battling for jobs. You've got a fifth-year senior battling for a job. But really guys that have established themselves are, you know, the quarterback. Defensively is really where you see a lot of the veterans that you can build around. You've got Benjamin Morrison, who's a junior, who's now a three-year starter, been an All-American. You've got Xavier Watts, fifth-year senior, unanimous All-American last year. You've got Jack Kaiser, six-year senior. Fully expect him to be a team captain this year. You get Jordan Clark in from Arizona State, six-year senior, a guy that's been a captain in the past. And you look up front, Riley Mills, fifth-year senior, multi-year starter. You look at Howard Cross, you know, with his second-team All-American output last year as a six-year senior. RJ Oben, sixth-year senior. Jordan Pitsoho, fifth-year senior. So there's a lot of veteran players that Notre Dame is going to be able to build around. But at the same time, there were some recruiting misses and some recruiting classes that have created a bit of a void in between. And one of those areas was in the class that, the 2020 and 2021 classes have created some issue, 2022 classes. And the reason for that is because you had some years where Notre Dame was short on numbers. And in those years, you've had some departures from those rosters. You've also had some years where, Notre Dame came up short in some key areas and, had to settle for smaller numbers or had guys that where they missed out on certain positions, where they were short on certain positions, and Notre Dame has kind of come up short in some veteran players at certain spots. And you look at the secondary, for example, and you say, hey, look, I mean, the last couple of years you've had Cam Hart and Xavier Watts. Well, them playing secondary hurt the receiving core because those guys were recruited to play receivers. So you look at the 2020 class, which are the fifth-year seniors. They only had 17 guys to begin with. They came up woefully short at a lot of positions. Jordan Johnson's gone. Jay Brunell's gone. Michael Mayer's gone. Chris Tyree is gone. Drew Pine is gone. Michael Carmody's gone. You've got Kevin Bauman's playing, but he's been injury prone. Aiden Kiana-Ana is gone. Alexander Ahrensberger is gone. Caleb Offord is gone. Ramon Henderson is gone. And Alex Peitsch is gone. So when you look at fifth-year seniors, that's a pretty small number. Then you fast forward to the 2021 class, which was the last full class that Brian Kelly landed. And they signed 27 kids, but there was a lot of kids that they signed in that class that you look back and you're like, yeah, that one didn't make a lot of sense. And a lot of those guys are gone, right? So, obviously Lorenzo Styles is gone. Cain Barong is gone. Some of these guys are gone because they got beat out. Audric Estime is gone. He's in the NFL. Logan Diggs transferred. Tyler Buckner had his woes. Blake Fisher's off to the NFL. Joe Alt hit Grand Slam. He's gone. Caleb Johnson transferred. Prince Colley transferred. Joshua Bryant was a kicker, has transferred. Will Schweitzer has transferred. Devin Upau transferred pretty quickly. Justin Walters has transferred. Ryan Barnes has transferred. Philip Riley's transferred. JoJo Johnson's transferred. And Kari G transferred. And then when you look at the last class that was the Brian Kelly, Marcus Freeman class, you have some strength from that class and some, we're going to talk about some of those players, but you also have in a situation where, you only signed one receiver that year and he's gone. Tobias Merriweather, he transferred, or Holden Stace transferred. Your offensive line class had five guys. One of them, Joey Tenona, had an unfortunate injury that cost him his career at Notre Dame. Fortunately, Joey's bounced back enough to where he's going to get a chance to play at Purdue, and I'm pulling like crazy for that kid. Your offensive line class worked out. You three of your four linebackers are still here. Your defensive line class, you signed three defensive linemen. They're all here. You signed only three DBs. One of them is gone. So you had some positions where you came up short on numbers and you've had departures. So what that's done is that's thrust Notre Dame into a situation where you are forced to rely a lot on your younger players and transfers. And that's the unique situation Notre Dame is in, because it's sort of a twofold way of looking at it. One is, why is Charles Jagasaw going to start at left tackle, for example? Well, one is, he's really good. Two is, who else is going to start at left tackle? And you have that in a lot of different positions, in a lot of different situations, partly because of things worked out well. You're going to have youth at running back and at left tackle because you had a star at those two positions who left early for the NFL. That's a good thing for them to have, but the recruiting woes that they've had in the past have led them to situations where now you're having to replace those guys with much younger players. That's the concern. And obviously Notre Dame was forced to go to the portal again this year in certain areas. The flip side of that, and this is really what we're going to talk more about today, is the fact that, yes, Notre Dame has to play a lot of young players. In one position in particular, they have nothing but redshirt sophomores or younger, which we'll dive into. But it's a position where I'm probably more excited about that position and more confident in that position than I am maybe any position on the team, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. And this is where, as we've talked about, this is the season where we start to find out just how good Marcus Freeman and Chad Bowden really are. Because this is the year where you're forced to play a lot of younger guys, but those younger guys are part of Marcus Freeman's first full two classes that I've talked about have more. So people talk about, oh, this class wasn't any better than Kelly's classes. Well, what do you base that off of? Well, this class ranked 8th or 10th or 11th, and it's kind of where Kelly ranked. And I've pointed out this class is significantly better than classes that Brian Kelly's had during his career. Brian Kelly had, I think, 12 full classes. Only the 13 class had more points, according to 247 Sports or Rivals, than what the 23 and 24 classes had. Only the 2013 class had a higher per player ranking average than the 23 and the 24 classes. And so to me, when I look at where Notre Dame is and what they're capable of being this season, it's a situation where we're going to see real quickly just how impactful this recruiting operation is. The good news is that, yes, they're going to have to play a lot of young players. But as I go through this list today, what you're going to find, with almost no exceptions of guys that are going to be starting or pushing for starting, yes, they kind of have to be in that situation, but they're ready. And the talent is exceptional. And now we're going to find out if this coaching staff can develop those players and get them where they need to be. Because that, honestly, the veterans are what they are. They're very good players, very excited about what they can bring to the table. I think they're going to have very good seasons. But at the end of the day, this whole operation is going to be determined whether Notre Dame is a good team, a 10-2, good football team that maybe makes the playoffs as a lower seed, or is playing in a bowl game with the chance to go 11-2, quality season, or is this a team that can kind of take that next step, be an 11-plus win team in the regular season, go to the playoff, and not just be happy to be there, yay, we made the playoff, but be in a situation where they have a chance to do some damage. And if that's going to happen, yes, the veterans need to keep doing what they're doing, and some of the newcomer veterans like Riley Leonard and RJ Oben and Rod Hurd and Chris Mitchell and Bo Collins, you hope that those guys have an impact. But at the end of the day, it's how much of this youth movement that they're going to have to go through is able to step up and perform. And how well that group handles things and takes over is going to go a long way towards determining just how good this football team can be. Now, when you discuss the youth movement at Notre Dame, both sides of the ball are going to be impacted. Both sides of the ball need young players to step up. And I'm first going to kind of start off with sophomores and freshmen, and then also incorporate some redshirt freshmen in this conversation as well. But I like sticking to more looking at it from the standpoint of true youth, first and second year players. Because, redshirt sophomores are still guys that are going into their third year. I don't count most of them as young at this point in time. But when I look at the offense and the defense and the difference, there are some guys that kind of have to step up on defense. But honestly, outside of maybe one of 11 spots, Notre Dame doesn't need a sophomore to really step up and thrive. On offense, you need, if you're looking at just freshmen and sophomores, you need at least, in my opinion, two guys to really step up. At least two, and I would argue four or five. And that's one of the really big differences. And the good news is there's a lot of the talent at Notre Dame on the offensive side is really good. And that's where we're going to start. And the first place to start is at the skill positions. When you look at this Notre Dame football team on offense and you start thinking about, what excites you about 2024, the season. And of course, I don't know about where you guys are, but I'm excited about what Riley Leonard is going to bring to the table. And I'm very excited about, landing Chris Mitchell and Jaden Thomas and Bo Collins and Deion Colsey and Mitchell Evans and a lot of those type of guys. But when I start really getting excited about this group, it's that those players who are good players and in some instances potentially standout players are going to be complemented by so many young players that have really just a ton of talent. Like, I think Chris Mitchell could be very good at Notre Dame. I think Riley Leonard has a chance to be a star at Notre Dame. I think Mitchell Evans can be one of the five best tight ends in the country next year if he's healthy. But when you look at it and say, well, that's really good, that can get you to 10-2, but is that good enough to get you 11-1, 12-0? Is that good enough to help you get in a run in the playoff? Maybe. I don't think it is, though, because of the importance of other positions. And when you look at the skill positions especially, there's some younger players that really have a chance to be stars. And there's one particular couple redshirt sophomores that I'm going to talk about in this group because – or one in this group and then one in line because they're redshirt sophomores, but they missed a lot of time, so they didn't have the advantage of what other third-year players have. And it really begins at running back. And when you look at the backfield, and I mentioned this earlier, there's a position where you're really young. And when you look at the running back room, every player at running back, now that Devin Ford's at safety, is a redshirt sophomore or younger. Jadarian Price and Jabron Painter, redshirt sophomores. You have Jeremiah Love, who's a sophomore. And then you have two freshmen in Kedron Young and Aeneas Williams. And this position is absolutely – I mean, you're going to have a sophomore or a redshirt sophomore starting at running back this year. Your depth chart is going to be made up entirely of redshirt sophomores, or freshmen. And while Jabron Payne is not your typical – is more of your typical redshirt sophomore, I don't think Jadarian Price is. And so I'm going to actually include Jadarian in this conversation because he did miss his entire freshman season with the Achilles injury. So when you look at what we're placing all of our hopes on the running back room being as far as being an elite unit, potentially elite unit, a unit good enough to take Notre Dame to the College Football Playoff, you need the youth movement to really take hold at that position. You start with Jeremiah Love, who's a true sophomore. You're talking about a guy that last season had a good first year at Notre Dame. You know, had a thing started off well for his rookie year, was second on the team in rushing last season with 385 yards. Didn't make as much of an impact as in the pass game as I had hoped he would be. Big part of it was because of how he was used. But we did see him get a chance late in the season to make a couple plays in the pass game. But you know, he's a guy that last season had, when you look at just total offense, when you include rushing, receiving, kick return yards, had 504 yards. When you look at his total offensive production or yards from scrimmage, he had 462 yards on only 79 plays, had two touchdowns, 5.8 yards per touch. Good season, good first season. So he got a chance to get his feet wet. Well, now that he goes into year two, he's got a chance to be a stud. And you're going to need him to do that. At the same time, Jadarian Price is in the similar boat. Jadarian obviously missed. It's funny, I wrote about this in my breakouts article today, about which was about the topic that I discussed in yesterday's show. And I forgot to mention this in yesterday's show, and I've mentioned this to you guys before, but you know, everybody talks about how good Jeremiah Love was last year, but we forget that Jadarian Price averaged 5.8 yards per carry, and Jeremiah was at 5.4. And I remember talking to an assistant coach at Notre Dame after the spring of 2022. This is before Jadarian Price's injury. But he said, listen, our best running back all spring was Jadarian Price. He's got a chance to start for us. This is a backfield that had Audric Estime and Logan Diggs and Chris Tyree at the time. That's how good he was that spring. Now, would that have manifested that way in the season? Who knows? But that's what a lot of people were talking about. Well, then he had the Achilles injury and missed his entire freshman season. Last year was his first year back from that, and he showed a lot of promise. And obviously, as I mentioned before, 5.8 years. Because we always talk about how explosive Jeremiah Love is, and he absolutely is. And Jeremiah Love has a ability to impact the game the way a lot of other people don't, and I'll get into that. But when you look at this backfield, you cannot forget about Jadarian Price. You're talking about a kid that averaged 5.8 yards per carry. You're talking about a kid that had five catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. And you're talking about a young man that averaged 34.4 yards per kick return last season. Notre Dame just landed a first-team All-American kick returner in Jaden Harrison, who averaged 30 yards per kick return at the Group of Five level. And he was very good. Don't get me wrong. He was a very good kick returner. And he had over twice as many kick return opportunities as Jadarian did. And most likely, if Jadarian would have doubled his opportunities, maybe he stays around 34. But Jaden Harrison was at 30.7 yards per kick return last season, had two touchdowns, and was a guy that earned first-team All-American honors as a kick returner. You look at the last year, the leader in kick returns last season was Barrion Brown from Kentucky. He averaged 36 yards per return. Number two was Jaden Harrison, who was at 30.7. Those are the only two guys last year that had enough returns to qualify that were over 30 yards. Jadarian Price had 34.4. So he was a really talented impact player. And now he's a year removed from the injury. potential for big time impact. You look at Jeremiah Love, big time talent, big time potential. And the thing I love about that group, and this is what I wrote about also today in that article, is you want back comp, you want two, your top two backs to be a combination of, they can do a lot of the same things, but they complement each other. And that can be hard to do, because like with Logan Diggs and Audric Estime 2 years ago, they had different strengths and weaknesses, but as far as how they fit into the offense, they were the same guy. When you put Logan in the game, you didn't really change your anything. When you put Audric in the game, you didn't really change anything. They ran the same offense. And to a degree, you want that. You don't want to be in a situation where when Jadarian's in the game, your inside zone, duo, counter, that's all you run, because that's all he can run. He can't. I'm making a point. You don't want to be in a situation where Jeremiah Love, when he's in the game, you're only running outside zone, buck sweep, and inside zone, because that's all he can do. Because what happens is by the time you get to Louisville, they're going to have some tells. By the time you get to Florida State, they're going to have a lot of tells. They're going to know when this guy's in the game, when that guy's in the game, this is what we're going to be, the calls we're going to be making, because this is what they do. You know, when number four's in a game, they run buck sweep, outside zone, inside zone, and they'll throw the ball to them. Here's where our calls are going to be. When 24's in a game, they're downhill power runs. This is how we're going to play it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The nice thing is that both of those guys can run everything. They both can run downhill. Jeremiah can run inside zone. Jadarian can run inside zone. Both of those guys are able to run duo. They're both able to make plays on counter. They can both run outside zone. They can both run buck sweep. They can both take a toss and either outrun the defensive sideline or stretch, boom, hit it vertically behind the offensive line. They can do all of those things. At the same time, there are enough differences in how they go about it that it's not the same dude. The other part of it, though, is because their skill set is very different, is that they also complement each other, because they can run everything. But I really like Jadarian even more so on the downhill runs. Jadarian can bounce it. He can make people miss. We saw it last year. He can do all those things. But, man, I can't wait to see him. I mean, just first carry of the season, we saw it. Just downhill, I believe it was a duo call. Just boom, vertical, exploded through the line against Navy, touchdown. And, of course, we saw Jeremiah's first touchdown was getting outside, getting in space, making people miss, boom, touchdown. Well, Jadarian can do that, but he's at his best when he is one cut, get downhill, and go. And so with Jeremiah, although he can do those things, there's also some things you want to get him involved in that's more perimeter-oriented, where it's straight perimeter-oriented, whether it's screen game, you know, buck sweeps, outside zone, toss, reverses. He can do a lot of those things that you want to take advantage of. And he's such a unique pass game weapon that you want to be able to take advantage of that too. And Jadarian, as we saw last year, can be effective in the pass game, but he's effective in the pass game in more of the traditional stuff, check downs, angle routes out of the backfield, swing routes out of the backfield, you know, slide routes out of the backfield, you know, the occasional wheel route. He can run a seam concept out of the backfield. But everything that you're going to do with Jadarian outside of some perimeter screen stuff is going to be straight out of the backfield and more as traditional running back type of route. With Jeremiah, you can still do all those things, but Jeremiah is a 6'1", 195, fast kid that can catch the ball, that began his high school career playing receiver. he can actually line up and run routes. I mean, he can run slants. He can run goes. He can run crosses, overs, things like that, sails, where you can do some really unique stuff with him that you can't really do with Jadarian that allows you to threaten teams in a different way. The great part about that, however, is that they complement each other. You have to prepare for a lot of different things with those two backs, but you're not going to be able to get as many of the run game tells that you normally get from two complementary backs who are different type of runners. The other part I like about it is with those two kids that are young players is you have a chance to use them together. And that's an exciting thing, but we get back to this being a youth movement. And the reality is we know those guys can be quality backups. They were quality backups last year. But the unknown is, can they be stars? Can they be leading backs? Can they be the leading men in this offense? And that we don't know. And that's ultimately where we're going to be with a lot of this, because the talent is great, but there's still uncertainty, because nobody that's young that's got a chance to be in a certain role this year has been in that role before for any extended period of time. Yes, it was great in the bowl game to watch Jadarian and Jeremiah tear up Oregon State, who was missing half their defense, right? But it doesn't mean a whole lot. It was great to see Charles Jagasaw and Billy Shrouth and Ashton Craig performing well in that game. But that was against a team that was depleted, and you have to be able to look at that. Having these two players just alone gives you a chance to have a dynamic offense, especially when you consider having Riley Leonard at quarterback. But there's more. You look outside, and we think about the impact that last year's freshman class had at receiver, and thought that, you know, Rico Flores is gone, Braylon James is gone. That class lost a little bit of its shine from what we thought it was going to be on signing day. But when you look at the fact that Jordan Faison is now part of that group, you're getting K.K. Smith now part of that group after he missed all of last year. Your sophomore class is still really good with Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, and to a degree, K.K. Smith. Jordan Faison and Jaden Greathouse are both battling for a starting job to a degree with each other, but also you can use them on the field together. I mean, the biggest play that Jaden Greathouse had last season, biggest from a distance, not necessarily biggest from most important, I would argue the NC State touchdown was his most important play, but biggest as far as yardage was the 40-plus yard touchdown that he caught against Wake Forest. Well, the interesting thing about that particular play is they had actually Jaden Greathouse and Jordan Faison were on the field together on that play. You actually had Jordan Faison was your backside receiver on that play, ran a post clear, and that opened up the opportunity for Jaden Greathouse to get across the field and catch that touchdown. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to be a long year with these receivers, because you've got Jaden Greathouse, Jaden Harrison, Jaden Thomas, Jordan Faison. It's going to be a lot of stuttering on my part trying to get the Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love, a lot of J's. So forgive me when I don't quite get it right. But when you look at Jordan Faison and Jaden Greathouse, they can play together as well. And when you look at the production they had last year, I mean, they were both rookie standouts at different times of the season. Neither guy was good all year. Jordan Faison didn't play until the seventh game of the year, sixth game of the year, played the final seven, caught 19 passes for 322 yards, 17 yards a catch, four touchdowns, was second on the team and tied for second on the team in receiving touchdowns. Who was he behind? Jaden Greathouse, who caught 18 touchdowns for 265 yards, or 18 passes for 265 yards and 14.7 yards per catch, had five receiving touchdowns last season. So nine of your 31 touchdown catches last year were by these two players. And so there's obviously a lot of excitement about what they can be, and they're part of that sort of that youth movement. And I still believe that you're in a situation where Jordan Faison can just do what he did last year for an entire season, you're good. And I don't know how much better Jordan Faison's going to get. I think he's going to get, from the standpoint, he'll get more refined. He'll get, you know, become a better route runner. But I don't know that he's a guy that you look at and say he's going to be. I've heard people comparing to Golden Tate. You know, is he going to have the kind of production Golden Tate has? I don't know about that. But honestly, I don't care. If he does, great. If he just repeats what he did last year for three more years, I'm good with that. But with Greathouse, it's an interesting one, because I really feel like, had he not gotten hurt and moved to the boundary when Jaden Thomas got hurt, I think we'd be looking at Jaden Greathouse right now as fans a whole lot different than we do now. I mean, when I talk to people about the receiving core, you know, you hear a lot about Chris Mitchell, understandably. Bo Collins, totally get it. Jaden Harrison, totally get it. You hear people talk about Jaden Thomas is going to be that breakout. You hear about how great Jordan Faison is, and that's all great. And I think all those guys have a chance to be that player, but I don't hear as much about Jaden Greathouse anymore, except from, of course, from our guy, Salty Virginia Peanuts, who talks about him all the time. But I really believe that Jaden Greathouse, and I talked about this yesterday, I don't need to repeat myself, but I really believe Jaden Greathouse has a chance to be the best receiver on this team, not down the road in 2024. Can he be that guy? I don't know. Do they need him to be that guy? No, they don't. What they need him to be, however, is a better version of what he was last season. That's the key. And so when you look at those two kids, you throw KK Smith in there, this sophomore class can complete this overhaul. But it's not just the sophomores. And then, of course, with Jadari being a redshirt sophomore, there's the freshman class has a chance to make their presence felt as well. You know, Kedron Young is one of the more gifted, just natural runners that Notre Dame has signed in a long time. You're talking about a 230-pound kid that can run, a 230-pound kid with great feet, a 230-pound kid with really good vision, a 230-pound kid that was out there catching go routes and wheel routes and seam routes in his first practice at Notre Dame like he was a slot receiver. He's a very talented kid. You've got Aeneas Williams, who in his career had over 4,000 rushing yards and 3,000 receiving yards and over 150 touchdowns in his career. And then, of course, at receiver, you've got Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert, who are exceptionally talented players and are going to battle. So when you look at the skill positions between Price, Love, I don't count Jabron Payne here because Jabron is a redshirt sophomore that was healthy his entire freshman year. So he's more of a traditional redshirt sophomore. I'm looking more at the guys that really only have 2 years under their belt or less. And since Jadarian missed his whole freshman year, he is in that category. But Jadarian, Jeremiah, Kedron, Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, KK Smith, Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, that freshman and sophomore class is not only very talented, but they're in position where Notre Dame needs at least, I would say not at least, they need about half of those guys, slightly under, to really emerge. Between Love and Price and Young, they need at least one of those guys to really step up and perform at a high level, and at least another one of those guys to be a good player this year. They have to have it. Notre Dame can't be the offense we want them to be or they need to be without one of those backs, one of the ones we discussed, breaking out as a star, and another one of those young backs that are talented of being a good player, a good complementary player. I love Jabron Payne. I've told you all in the past, I think Jabron could be a 1,000-yard rusher if you need him, but there's different types of production. There's production where you're a good back, you help us win games, and then there's production that's game-changing. Jabron can be a productive player at Notre Dame. Love Jabron Payne. But Price and Love are a little different in that you have to defend, you have to game plan for them completely different than you do Jabron Payne, where Jabron Payne is a really, he's like, the machine is really good, and he's behind there just bam, hitting it. He's a good football player. Then there's guys that drive it. And Price can drive it. Love can drive it. Kedron can drive it. Will that be this year? They need at least one of those guys to be that guy this year. Then a receiver. Like, okay, could Notre Dame be pretty good at receiver with Deion Colsey, Jaden Thomas, Bo Collins, Jaden Harrison, and Chris Mitchell all being the rotation? Yeah, that's a good receiving core. I think that receiving core has got a chance to be one of the better ones that Notre Dame's had since 2018. You know, when you look at the talent they have, but can they be a receiving core that is good enough to go into the postseason and play with the Georgias and the Ohio States and the Bamas and the Texases and teams like that if you don't have at least two of Greathouse, Faison, KK Smith, Cam Williams, or Micah Gilbert step up? And I would especially point to the trio of Greathouse, Faison, and Cam Williams. And so we spent a lot of time on the two sophomores, but I think Jaden Greathouse is probably the team's best overall receiver. It's between him, Mitchell, and Jaden Thomas. I would lean towards Mitchell and Jaden because I think those two are Jaden Greathouse because I think those two are a little bit faster. But when I look at it and I talk and I break it down, Greathouse might be their most gifted receiver from the standpoint of the whole package, route running, ball skills, football IQ, athleticism, all that. But when you talk about who's the most dynamic talent at receiver, I don't think it's close. It's Cam Williams. Now, how ready will Cam Williams be? That's the question, right? That's where we are. When I watched Cam Williams in high school, I mean, you guys know it. I had him as a five-star player. It can't get much better than that. Adam's a top 25 talent. And when you get a chance to see him in person, you see the explosiveness, you see the ball skills. He had some drops in his first practice, mainly because he was thinking. You can see it. He's got some suddenness to him. The thing that surprised me about Cam when I watched him in that first practice, however, was how big he was. I didn't realize how big. I mean, he's a legit 6'2". Maybe even a little slightly taller. He's a legit 200 plus pounds now. And you're like, good Lord, I had this kid as a five-star and he's already bigger and a little taller and a little bit more initial burst more than I thought he had. And you get excited about that. So what does this offense look like this year? And I'll pose this to you guys in the chat. You tell me what you think. If Jaden Greathouse is the breakout player I predicted him to be, if Jordan Faison at the very least matches the level of play he did last year, and then just has your normal year two growth, or Jaden Greathouse has normal year two growth and Jordan Faison has a breakout season. If those two things happen with either guy, don't really care which one, and Cam Williams is a freshman that can come in and play for you right now, what are your feelings? And then you throw in Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price or everything we think that they can be. If those things all happen, what do you guys think this offense looks like this year? What is your opinion of what the offense looks like this year? For me, when I look at that, if Price and Love and Kedron Young, if two of those three step up and are what we think they can be, if Greathouse and Faison, one of them breaks out, one just makes normal second-year growth, and if Cam Williams can be a 20-plus catch guy on this offense, 15, 20-plus catch guy on this offense, I mean, we're talking about Notre Dame having a chance to really, really be special from a skill talent standpoint. But there's got to be more. You got to have somebody blocking. You can have all the skill talent in the world, but when you get to the postseason, there's going to be some teams, Ohio State, Georgia, that are good enough to say, yeah, you have great talent, but we can at least match you or come close to matching you. But the reason you're not going to beat us is because we're going to beat you up in the trenches. And that's happened in Notre Dame in the past. That's why the youth movement is not only for the skill players. You've talked about Cooper Flanagan, who's a true sophomore. He's going to be a very important part of the rotation this year. That's another young player. And he's a guy, to me, that gets talked about more so in this category because although I think Cooper can help you in the pass game, I think Cooper's got a chance to be a pretty darn good tight end at Notre Dame. But you know he can run block at a high level. But more so, there's two players I have in mind that I'm really keying on, and one is Charles Jagasaw and the other is Billy Shrouth. I won't spend a lot of time talking about them because I talked about them a lot yesterday. Now, Billy Shrouth is a redshirt sophomore, but he's also a guy that missed a lot of time as a rookie because of injury. But when you talk about Charles Jagasaw, can Notre Dame really be the team that we think they can be that goes on a run if Charles Jagasaw doesn't take a big step forward and break out as a sophomore? Can they be that team if Billy Shrouth doesn't figure it out, put it all together, and step in and be that kind of player? Can they really be that kind of team? If you want to really get in, you know, Ashton Craig's another redshirt sophomore, and then you look at the two deep, there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be one true sophomore in the starting lineup for Notre Dame on the offensive line, and there's three true sophomores that are probably going to be in the two deep, at least two when you look at Sullivan Absher, Sam Pendleton, and Joe Otting. So you're talking about a very young group, and then you've got two redshirt sophomores that have a chance to start as well in Ashton Craig and Billy Shrouth. So a lot of times the focus is on the skill players that are young, and that's where you are confident that young players can step up. It's not always ideal when you have a bunch of younger linemen that are having to be depended upon, and that's still where I get to my big concern with this offense is that right there. If you want to know what my biggest concern is, it's that they are a young offensive line. Jagasaw is a true sophomore. Billy Shrouth and Ashton Craig are redshirt sophomores, but they only have three starts in their careers under their belt. They're still young players from a developmental standpoint. And then you talk about the two deep is going to be littered with young players. Sullivan Abshire is going to be in the two deep at offensive tackle if he's not overtaken by Gearby Lambert, or he moves inside and Gearby steps into that, who's a true freshman, who's an absolute incredible talent. Sam Pendleton's going to be very hard to keep out of the two deep. He might be hard to keep out of the lineup, period, but he's definitely going to be hard to keep out of the two deep. Joe Otting's is already your number two. Number two center. And as I mentioned with Sullivan Abshire could be your number two left tackle. He could be your number two right tackle. He'd be one of your number two guards. Very, very talented player. But youth in the offensive line is not often the same as youth at the skill positions. Can these young players as a group, especially the guys that are going to be bound for starting jobs, can they grow up in a hurry? That's the big question. Because I think if what I proposed earlier about the offensive skill talent, the young skill talent doing what it did, and then just, you know, Thomas and Mitchell and those guys are just solid. You've got Mitchell Evans. They got a shot to be really explosive on offense. 40-plus point per game team. But if that's not – because – and the reason I say that is because at that point in time, it doesn't really matter a lot what the line does, because this skill talent alone will allow them to go rip up Miami of Ohio and Northern Illinois and Purdue and Stanford and Virginia and Georgia Tech to a degree and Navy and Army and probably score a decent amount of points on USC. But if this team wants to go out and truly be a contender, go on the road and beat Texas A&M, beat Florida State at home, beat Louisville home, and then go into the postseason and be able to play with Georgia and play with the Buckeyes and play with Texas, then the line, it's even more important that the line grows up. Because here's the second thing that I'll propose to you. What gives Notre Dame a better chance to be a great offense next year? That Love and Price and Greathouse and Faison and Cam Williams all have breakouts, but the line, the young line, is really inconsistent all season. It's number one. Or scenario number two, where the young guys are just okay. It's the veterans that dominate, you know, Price and Payne running back, or Love and Price just make normal growth. The receivers don't really make that jump. Cooper doesn't necessarily make a jump. You're relying on Mitchell Evans and Chris Mitchell and Deion Colsey and Jaden Thomas and Jaden Harrison and guys like that. The other young guys give you depth. But in that scenario, Jagasol, Abshire, and Shrouth all are exactly what we think they're going to be or can be, and they're big-time players. Which scenario gives you greater confidence you can go beat Georgia or that you can go beat Bama or Ohio State? To me, it's the veteran skill players with breakouts from the line. The reality, however, is neither scenario of those gives you a chance to win a title. If Notre Dame wants to have a championship caliber offense, you need the youth movement at the skill positions and the line to be a success. That's going to be the big key. And we're talking sophomore class, freshman class, and then a couple of those redshirt sophomores that didn't play a whole lot. And that's what gets me excited about what the offense can be. But at the same time, if we're being honest, that's a lot of ifs. And if you want to know what the potential downfall can be for this football team next year, it's that right there. It's that there's so many ifs, and you're relying so much on development of young players to really be able to take yourself to that next level. Without them breaking out, I still think this is a 10-2 top 15 football team. But if the youth movement doesn't really take over on offense, I don't think you can be any better than 10-2. And I think there's a better chance you go 9-3 and stub your toe than you go 11-1 or 12-0. And so that's why, to me, you need both. And the exciting thing is, it's elite talent. Jeremiah Love, top 50 player coming out of high school for me. Jaden Greathouse, Jadarian Price, top 100 players coming out for me. Jordan Faison has turned out to be a really good player. Charles Jagasol, five-star player for me. Abshire Pendleton, four-star, top 200 players for me. Joe Otting, four-star, top 250 player for me. You talk about Billy Shrouth, top 100 player for me. I had Ashton Craig as a top 250 player. You could throw Emil Wagner in that conversation. And then there's one other guy that you think about in this youth movement too, or two, one position is what happens at quarterback this year, this spring and fall. Do we see Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr really seize hold of that number two quarterback job? So that's another aspect to look at too, although it may not have the direct impact on this season. So I didn't talk a lot about it, but that's another thing to look at. But these are all talented guys. Kenny Minchie as a top 100 player. CJ Carr as a five-star player. Gerby Lambert as a five-star player. Y'all have been following me for a while. No, I don't hand out a lot of five-stars. And you had three in the freshman class on offense this year with Cam Williams, CJ Carr, and Gerby Lambert. And then you talk about all the top 50 and 100 top caliber players. Jeremiah Love, Greathouse, Jadarian Price, Billy Shrouf. And then guys that have turned out to be good players that we didn't think that was the case. And when you look at Jordan Faison and what he's turned out to be. So lots to be excited about, but we also have to be honest and say, but there's a lot of question marks because you don't often see teams go have championship level success with that much youth on offense. The last time that I can really remember that being the case was 2018 with Clemson. You had a true freshman quarterback, true sophomore running back that was your leading rusher. Your leading receiver was a true sophomore. Your second best receiver was a true freshman. That was a very young team. Can Notre Dame repeat that? Now, the positive for Notre Dame is they're going to have a much more experienced quarterback. But and they have some veteran skill players that can complement those younger players as well. But you're going to really need that young lineman to step up. And the youth movement has got to hit on the perimeter and inside. That's going to be a key to the Notre Dame offense being as good as it can be and good enough for Notre Dame to compete for a championship.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.